Hot on the heels of the new Elon Musk battery storage technology that is powering South Australia's electricity backup, a new South Australian breakthrough is recharging technology could revolutionise portable power. The promise of quantum batteries is that we could be charging our phones in, say, a second or two. Incredible? Maybe. Henry Tai unpacks the quantum of what will now be part of the battery technology of the future.
Quantum batteries hit the front pages with great fanfare over the weekend, but how long before we can see these fast-charging batteries hit the shelves? The concept of quantum batteries is quite a new field, having only emerged in 2013. Dr. James Quach, Ramsey Fellow at the University of Adelaide, explains that it's still early days for research, let alone real-world applications.
Where we are at the moment with quantum batteries and quantum technology at the moment is that they're built on the micrometer scale, so the microscopic. So what that means is that the energy levels are very small. So realistically, in the near future, quantum batteries will most likely be operating in other quantum technology devices like quantum computers. To get quantum batteries to operate in conventional devices like phones and classical electronic devices involves many, many, many more steps, and that will probably be further into the future. I'm not saying that we can't get there, but to get there requires a lot of work.
Professor of Quantum Physics and Quantum Technology at the University of Sydney, Michael Biersick, says that quantum batteries are interesting, but it's not something we should expect in our phones anytime soon.
Quantum batteries are a kind of interesting theoretical application in which quantum entanglement, this one of these weird effects that exists in quantum physics, may in fact prove itself useful as a new resource. And I mean, you really should not think about charging your laptop with one of these devices anytime soon, if ever. But it is an exciting time to explore new ways in which we can deploy quantum physics to either augment technological capabilities or open up totally new applications.
With a concern for STEM education in Australia, can we achieve and continue to achieve these levels of research and development, both at the university level and industry? Our history and prestige in this field is explained by Professor Michael Bremner from the Centre for Quantum Software and Information at the University of Technology, Sydney.
Australia is, how do I put it, it's in an interesting position. So we've had a long time, we've gradually built up a capability. And actually, we had a bunch of the early movers in quantum computing were actually from Australia. Now, the landscape in quantum computing is changing very radically because there's been a huge amount of private investment is flowing into the field. And also there is all the governmental interest around the world has actually sort of gone up a level, if that makes sense. So while Australia's had a very good track record in quantum computing and we've got a lot of capability, especially in education of quantum computing, maintaining that position is going to be, well, it's going to be interesting.
Professor Biersick also emphasizes the need for STEM throughout our education system.
Well, there absolutely is a need for augmenting the educational programs from primary through secondary schools, especially in science and technology, not because these are somehow special disciplines, but because they're areas where Australian students have fallen behind their global competitors in many respects. In order to build this industry, we need skilled people. We need people who are numerate, who understand mathematics, and who can learn physics, who can learn to code. All of these are areas of development and ongoing improvement is always going to be needed. There's absolutely nothing to say that this is impossible. This is very much within the scope of what we can achieve together by interacting from the public school level all the way up through advanced programs in universities.
And though the level of education needs to be lifted, Professor Bremner explains that not everyone will need a PhD to work in the field of quantum technology.
In our field, what we're going to see as the field grows is more and more positions which don't require necessarily a PhD in order to get involved. So just last week we had a conference where we had people from Microsoft and Google and a bunch of startups around the world. We're presenting at this conference here at UTS. And they were talking about how, you know, increasingly they'll be looking towards people with ideally a good undergraduate education that they could bring into maybe their organizations. That said, that doesn't mean that there won't need to be, like, a huge growth in sort of the research level as well. Okay, so you know, there's product development and software engineering. That's one thing, and then on the other side of things is the actual cutting edge research and breakthroughs that need to keep driving any field of technology forward. And as a field of technology grows, you really need to, you know, keep supplying the people that can actually deliver those breakthroughs.
Professor Michael Bremner from the Centre for Quantum Software and Information at University of Technology Sydney, ending that report by Henry Tai.